Let's go in our Bibles to Matthew 24:3. I'm going to take you on a little bit of a different journey. I'm going to speak to you prophetically today. And you're going to like this. And this is going to lead us up into something. Matthew 24:3. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the anointing on it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for delivering it the way you would want to in Jesus' name. Oh, can I tell them that now? So the word of the Lord came to us this morning in prayer. And the Lord said, can I do that now? Am I good? The Lord said, lockdowns will begin. They locked you down. Now I'll lock them down. The enemy has tried to lock us down, but now we will see enemy locking down, getting locked down. You can watch it. It's going to happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 24:3. Are you there? Okay. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things shall be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, in these verses, Jesus is going to tell the disciples about the signs of the end of the age. Okay. Down through here, he's going to talk about that. There's a whole list of them, what's going to happen. And we've seen a lot of it happen, war, rumors of wars. We've seen these things. But what I want to center up on right now is this first thing he said, because this is the number one thing. When they asked the question, this is what he answered. He said, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that you're not deceived. Take heed, watch out that you don't get deceived. Now, don't let anyone mislead you. Don't be fooled. And we know today that deception is running rampant. You know, there are more and more lies being told today than ever before. You know, things get dark when they try to pass a law so you can marry your cow. That's utterly ridiculous. Praise the Lord. But you know, people, someone said it in the meeting. They said there are people, I think it was Jeremy, that actually talked about my truth. My truth. Well, my truth is this and my truth. But your truth could be lies. And so what we want is to not be deceived. Not on any level do we want to be deceived. My truth is what's written in that word. My truth is what Holy Spirit tells me. But there are a lot of things going around that people are trying to pass off as truth and vote in as truth that they're just not truth. Jesus said, do not be deceived. But you know, deception is not new. It happened in the garden. No, you won't surely die. You're just going to get smarter. That's what he told him, didn't he? And so that's the main tool of the devil. The main tool of the devil, although he's a defeated foe, he still has the ability to lie to you. And if you buy into that lie, then he's going to use your own power to bring that lie to pass. But he has no power. He has no power over you. Jesus defeated him. But he can lie to you. And then when you pick it up and start saying it, then you fall into the trap. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, wiles is one of three words that you want to always remember when you're understanding any kind of spiritual battle of the mind, which that's the only warfare you have because Satan is defeated. And wiles means methodos. It's a compound word, metaodos or metaados. And it actually means with, and the second word is road, with a road. So the wiles of the devil means with a road. And the Holy Spirit's using that word to let us know that the devil has one way to come into you. He only has one way. He looks sneaky and subtle and like he has a whole bag of tricks. But he only really has one way to come into you, and that is if he comes in to deceive you. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should give an advantage over us, we are not ignorant to his devices. So that word devices is the word nomata. And the word nomata is nous, the first word, it means derived from the mind. It actually means deceived mind. Deceived mind. This is the road he's going to come in on. He wants to create a deceived mind. Mind games would be a good term for this. And we're not ignorant of the mind games of Satan, because we've learned to cast down imaginations. The devil loves to make playgrounds of people's minds. Does he? Mm-hmm. You see it all the time. But we are taught to take captive those thoughts. Right. No, you're not coming in here with that thought. No. And you fight thoughts with words. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with out loud words. So we have to stop listening to ourselves, and we have to start speaking to ourselves. So those two words, wiles, is how he travels in. Devices is, tells us he's headed for the mind. He's got one way to get to you, and it's through your mind. Did you hear me? He has one way to get to you, and it's through your mind. He can't get to you any other way. You don't have to be afraid of the boogeyman. Amen. Whoever controls the mind controls the health and the emotions. Now, deception occurs when a person believes those lies. Okay? He comes in, he tells you a lie, and then you buy it. You believe it. So, here's an example. You're just a failure. You're combing your hair in front of the mirror. You know you haven't done anything. You're just a failure. You're no good. Nobody loves you. Da, da, da. And you keep hearing that and hearing that and hearing that. And then finally you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I've just failed. I'm just a failure. You took it. That's as simple as it is. And then from there, he can really work on you. So as long as you resist the allegations, they don't have any power over you. But on the other hand, if you perceive them as truth, if you start seeing yourself as a failure, if you start seeing yourself as dying, if you start seeing yourself as lack, if you start seeing yourself as missing it all the time, then those allegations are going to become real to you. You're going to take them and you're going to start living that out. I'm going somewhere, church. So three words. Wiles with a road. Devices headed toward the mind. Deception when you embrace the lie. So that is what has happened in this world. People have heard lies and embraced them. And it is not just the world system. People in the church have heard religious lies about God. They've accepted them and they just go with it. Praise the Lord. But you can stay out of it. You have truth. You can say no to the lies and yes to the truth. So Jesus said, let no man deceive you. But here he's not speaking generally. He's having a conversation about the end of the age. Now we've heard more scenarios about the end times. Have you? Yeah. Even those of you that are 30, or those of you that are 15, you've heard all sorts of scenarios about the end time. There are people who are pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whatever trib, no trib, I don't know. All sorts of stuff about what happens in the end times. We've heard all sorts of stories about the mark of the beast. There was a conspiracy for a little while that the vaccine was the mark of the beast. The vaccine was not the mark of the beast. And if you took it and it gave you an effect, the blood of Jesus is still good.
That's right.
Amen. If you got COVID, the blood of Jesus is still good. Absolutely. Whatever's happened to you, the blood of Jesus is still good and will take care of anything. The mark of the beast, it's very clear if you read through what the mark of the beast is, it's going to be about a financial system. And I believe you will be gone. You believe what you want to, but I believe we'll be gone. So, but we can't stick our head in the sand at this time because things are dark. And if you follow prophecies in the scripture, you can see absolutely that we are in a certain time. The truth is, church, we are in a time of transition. This is a time of transition. We are going to move from the church age to the post-church age. Amen. Okay. That's what's going to happen in this world. We are moving in. We're headed for the end of this age. Well, how long will it take? Well, we don't know. We could be here another 100 years. I don't know that. You don't know that. But it sure doesn't seem like it to me. I don't know how long the transition will take, but I know we're in it. I don't know if it'll, you know, we're going to come to what they call a Shemitah year. We're going to come to the end of a cycle in September. If we do, fine, I'll be happy. If we go another 7 years, I'll be happy. If we go 14 years, I'm going to be happy about it. I hope you will be too. But I do know that we're in transition. And we are at the end of the age, and I don't think it's going to be 100 years for sure. I mean, for sure, I don't believe that. Well, then, are you trying to tell us today that America will not be great again? I am not. I believe America will be great again. I do, absolutely. I'm saying that the Great Awakening is here. The Great Awakening is here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But that doesn't mean that there won't be any darkness. The Bible teaches that the world will get dark, but will get lighter. Amen. That day's coming. And first let me say this. Whether Jesus is coming tomorrow or if he's coming 100 years from now, we have a mode of operation. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Live the gospel of the kingdom. Pray the gospel of the kingdom. Praise, worship, sing, pray. Do everything we can. Love. That's our mode of operation. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Those are all the things that we're going to do just like Jesus did, no matter how long it takes. But I don't think it'll take that long. We are in transition. When Jesus came the first time, he began a transition. People have different opinions about this. I think it's very clear to see that he began to preach the kingdom of God. In fact, John the Baptist came along and began to bring in that transition. Did you see it? Do you see it that he did? So John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Now think about that. I know you won't repent. Oh, I'm so sorry I sinned. You ought to be sorry if you sinned. But this repent, change systems. Change systems, for the kingdom of God has come. The law and the prophets are going to roll into transition of the kingdom while Jesus is walking on the earth in 3.5 years. That's what's going to happen. Are y'all with me? Y'all understand what I just said? Mm-hmm. So John the Baptist said, the kingdom of God is coming. What did Jesus preach? The kingdom of God. Amen. He said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. That's a good scripture a good prayer to pray, isn't it? Yes. And so we see that the age of the law and the prophets came to an end during the gospel time. Now you're like, well, I don't know if I saw it or not. Well, could I help you just a little? Do you remember when Jesus went up on the mount and Moses and Elijah appeared to him? And Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets. Now I'm not saying there aren't prophets today. I'm just talking about that phase of life. they actually handed over, if you will, the baton to him and said, now we're transitioning into a new era. I'm telling you that they transitioned, Jesus transitioned us into the church age. The book of Acts, we fully came into it. And now from then until now, we have been in what people call the great parentheses, the grace period. Church, you are a glorified one. And once this age closes out, there will be no more glorified ones added to it. You got a special place. They're going to see you in the millennial reign and go, oh, there goes Jesse. She's one of those glorified ones. That's what they're going to say about you. Oh, there's a glorified one. They were the ones who received Jesus and his kingdom by faith, by grace through faith. I'll say it that way. Say it correctly here. Amen. So, when ages change, there are things to do. So we're transitioning. So I'm going to read Luke 2:25 to you. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, so he's got the baby, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Both. Okay. So now what we know, now he prophesies on down. You can read that later, but we know that Simeon and Anna stayed in the temple day and night. She prayed day and night. She was waiting for the Messiah to come. Simeon was waiting for the Messiah to come. And so what we see is that she was fasting and praying. What's she doing? She's building a road. She's doing road work. She's building a road for the King of Glory to come in. John the Baptist was building a road. They prophesied about him in the Old Testament. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, bring up the valleys, take down the mountains so that the King of Glory can come in. So John the Baptist was a road worker. He prayed, he declared, he prophesied, and he preached, and he built a road so that Messiah could come in. These two were also doing that. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So, the devil has tried and does try to build a road into your atmosphere. We just talked about that in the beginning. But we are building a road for the return of Jesus. We are the voices of ones crying in this wilderness, so to speak. So Messiah can come back. We are building roads for transition. Glory to God. This is our assignment. What? So you want to know what you're supposed to do spiritually? Pray. Prophesy. Preach. Worship. Praise. We're working on a transition. Now, let me say something to some of you who are not ready to leave this place. Now, I believe in the rapture. You can believe what you want to. We'll see who wins the prize. But I'm going, and I'm going on the first load.
Amen.
I am so pre-trib, I don't eat post-toasties, okay? Now, first of all, you will leave here someday. By rapture or by grave. But let's just say that Jesus came and raptured you out of here in the twinkling of an eye, okay? Now you might be thinking, I don't want to go. Mama, I just got me and my family and I want to have success on earth first and I want to see my people get saved and I got a life to live and so I'm just not ready to go. I don't want this to end yet. We have stuff to do. Now you some people feel like that. I don't happen to be one of them, but some people do. Church, heaven is not a floaty cloud. How would you like it if, while you're living here on earth right now, starting today, let's just start it today, what if this happened to you? So you became very wealthy today and you became very healthy today. Let's say that you could live in any style of house you wanted to on the earth. Some people in this room are doing all those things I just said. But let's say you could live there and you got your family, your children, your husband, your wife, whatever. Grandma doesn't live too far away. Amen. Mm-hmm. You have the neighbors you want. It's getting better, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're doing the assignment you love. Your job is what you love.
Yeah.
You travel to your favorite places, first class.
Mm-hmm.
You getting good?
You
have an overwhelming feeling of accomplishment because you're able to help people every single day.
Yeah.
Every day you're serving someone and helping them and you like it. You like it because you're helping people.
Yeah.
Does this sound like a good thing to have?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you somehow started living with a place where there's no resistance against you. It's like the enemy just disappeared.
Yeah. Glory.
Is it getting better?
Yeah.
And then all of your family starts behaving.
Ooh.
You even like to go to Christmas dinner with them.
Yeah.
It's not awkward anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
They don't consider you the nut on the tree anymore. Your favorite pets are all around you. And you live near the coolest river because when you go swimming in that river, you can dive under. You don't need a snorkel mask because you can breathe underwater. Did Earth just get better? But you didn't lose all the good stuff. You still got your honey. You got your children. You got your job. You've got health. You've got wealth, you've got peace, you've got joy, you've got work to do, you got cool places to go. That's heaven. It's not a floaty cloud. Well, we know each other. Well, did you know each other while you were in Fort Worth?
Well, yeah.
That's kind of a no-brainer. You're just going to look better. You're going to feel better. I'm going to look a lot more like these three here on the front row. Praise the Lord. You say that can't happen, but it will happen when you go. Well, am I going to get to be married? You'll have your husband or your wife. What if I don't want them anymore? Well, you're going to have to work on that with some. I don't know about that. You chose them for eternity. You're going to like them then. All of those dirty socks laying around and all that will be gone. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm trying to tell you. We're in transition time.
Amen.
And this is what I've learned now. I want you to just focus in with me just a little bit more before we close here. This is what I've learned. When there's transitions, the next chapter of life will start spilling over into this one. Are you with me? When there's going to be a transition, things will start spilling over. Come on.
Yeah.
You can see it happen if you'll look for it here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when you start pulling for Messiah, you're pulling for the kingdom. You're pulling for heaven, which is going to give you some heaven on earth. starts spilling over on you. Amen. You go down to the beach, and you're going to run out in the water. Oh, you know, I think it's all so great. And man, I tell you, a big old wave will come in and just splash you before you were ready. I remember the first time I went to Pensacola, and I walked out on that beach, and there was that white sand and that blue water, and I didn't mean to get wet. I was fully dressed, and I walked up there, and I stood on the edge, and I was like, oh, this looks like sugar, and the water's so beautiful. It's just so wonderful. Splash! This big wave just, it got there early.
Yep.
Before I even wanted to go in. It spilled over into my time before I had time to transition.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
The kingdom needs to keep coming. Needs to keep coming. People say, Jesus is coming. Some people say, you just want to escape. You just want to get out of here. Why? You don't know if Jesus is coming or not. Jesus is coming every day.
Yes.
He's coming in here right now.
Yes.
He started coming when Jesse started singing this morning.
Yes.
Started coming. Jesus is coming. All the Spirit of God is coming in here.
Yes.
But one day Messiah will appear in the sky.
Yes.
Now in the first round, he's not going to touch earth. Y'all understand that? Yes. We're going to go. But in the second round, he's coming back all the way.
Yeah.
And we're going to come with him. This is real. This isn't fairy tale. We'll go into more detail about that later. But what I want to talk about, what we should be doing in the time of transition. Number one, you need to pray with your authority. Pray with authority. The other big one is walk by love. Be walking in love. And the other thing is live by faith as God, as your supplier. Be praying with authority. Walk in love. Trust God as your supplier. Yeah, I heard it, Lord. The other thing is to be led by the Spirit of God. And the other big one is eat the word, and you just finished doing that. As I heard someone's thoughts. Well, if he's coming back, I guess I won't be able to finish out my dream. Are you kidding me? It's an express right now. Time's going to speed up now. Brother Jerry told us that. He told us that. Now things are going to speed up. Now what you've been looking for is going to happen if you'll put your faith on it. Things are going to speed up. Do you remember the story that Jesus told about the guys who got paid a penny for working? And then the last guy got paid as much as they did. And they were like, huh, you might as well get used to it. I've been doing this for 30 years. But there are people that are going to come in this year and catch up to where I am.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That's good with me.
Yep.
Pray with authority. Walk in love. Live by faith. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Eat the word. And then I want to say this to you. Walk in your favor. Walk in the favor of God. The favor of God that he's given you. Psalm 102:13 says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, the set time has come. Now remember, we're talking about times here. We're talking about transition here. If you didn't get anything out of what I said, please tune into this right here. What prophet told us this year that we would have unusual, supernatural, extraordinary miracles? What prophet? Brother Jerry Savelle, the favor prophet, told us that. Church, God wants to step up things. He wants to step up your favor. Now, you've had some wins. But it's time for you to have some win-wins.
Yes.
The secret is to make a really big deal out of the little wins.
Okay.
Because getting a front row parking place at Dillard's or wherever you go, HEB, whatever, that's great.
Yeah.
We need bigger.
Amen.
However, if you'll thank God and make a big deal out of your front row parking place, If you'll make a big deal when somebody gives you $20, if you make a big deal when you get a 50-cent raise, if you'll make a big deal out of somebody allowing you to move in front of them somewhere, if you'll make a big deal out of the little things, the big things will surely come in and pull you into a transition of more favor. Sometimes we take those favors for granted. How many of you would say that your boss actually let you off work to go to the convention? Yeah, y'all are blessed right here, I'm telling you. Yeah, yeah. With pay, that's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, y'all have to go. You get to go. I'm kidding. Now, that's a blessing if you got to go. Did you know that I've had a job all my life for 35 times that never kept me? And I had jobs. I worked at other churches. Never kept me out of the convention. During that time, I even had a job where I worked for a telephone company. And they paid me to go to the convention. The telephone company paid me to go to the convention. I went in and said, you know, Tom, love Tom, he's in heaven now. I said, we've never missed this convention, and we were in Chicago, and said, we really want to go to Fort Worth to go to this. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to pay you the whole time you're gone. Just drop by a couple of COs, that means central offices and telephone talk, and do a little work for me there on the drive down, and then I'll pay you $38.50 to sit and listen to Brother Copeland an hour. Now, that's pretty good. That's the favor of God. I think I'm still telling that story. Why? Because I'm thanking God that all these years he's shown me the favor that I've never had to miss the word.
Amen.
It's going to get better from here. It's going to get better from here. It's going to get better from here. Oh, the world's going to hell in a handbag. No, the church of the living God is going to get better. Tell some of those things. Think about some of those things. Talk to God about some of those things. Yesterday it rained around us. It didn't rain at our house. But I thanked God. Thank you for raining over there on them. Hey, Lord, thank you for rain. Thank you for the, it was cloudy, and for the first day it didn't get 100. Thank you for it, Lord. Yes. Or did you say, well, I missed the rain again. No, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm next.
Amen.
In fact, today's a good day. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are y'all getting this today?
Yeah.
All right. So watch for it. Sow for it. Sow for coming into this transition of more favor. You're going to need this favor in this time. You're going to. God will not hold out on us. His hand is open, as we've heard all week. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Jerry said God wants to give us some win-wins. And he wants to give us the supernatural, extraordinary, unusual favors.
Yes.
So have a cookie. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 102:16 says, for the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. So God will build us up and he will manifest his glory. The glory is the heavy, weighty presence of God. I know you sense that in here sometimes. That God, it gets very powerful in here on occasion, many occasions. Glory is power, presence, and prosperity. That's what it is. The glory means wealth as much as it does presence. I happen to like the presence more than any. I love the presence of God. I love when he's just here and we're just soaking in his presence. Amen. I want you to know that we're transitioning into an increased power, presence, and prosperity. The presence of God will get very, very powerful in this room very soon. Sometimes battles get long and people start thinking that God's not listening to them. But we know that God is not the problem. Most of the time, we experience delays because we don't have the right understanding of favor. Or we put favor on the back burner because instead of thanking God for all the favors, we focus on what he's not doing. So if you're focusing on what he's not doing, I want you to let that go today. Well, it hadn't happened to me. Well, it hadn't happened to me. Well, think about something good that's happening to you and focus right there. Think about something good. Amen. Now, I want to, here as we close, I want to give you just a little bit of an adjustment that the Lord gave me. It's actually really big for me, and I hope that it will help you. I was just in there just writing my notes yesterday. I was just typing all this out and getting excited about it. And I just turned my chair around, you know, those swivel chairs, and I said, Lord, now, I'm asking you for unusual, supernatural, extraordinary. Today, I'm asking you for it. And I said it like that. And I whirled back around, started typing again. He said, hey. I said, yes. He said, I need you to look at this now. You just said that to me like you're asking for something that I haven't given you yet. But I released it when the prophet said it. This is my mistake. So I changed it right there. I repented. I said, yeah. Erase that. Lord, I receive extraordinary, supernatural, unusual miracles. In fact, I said, I'm taking 7 of them. I want an extraordinary. I want an unusual. I want a supernatural. Then I want an unusual supernatural. Then I want an unusual extraordinary. Then I want a supernatural extraordinary. So I just changed them all up until I had about 7 of them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I have them now.
Yeah.
I have them right now. And you're going to get fully healed today. And you're going to prosper today, and you're going to know what to. When you go to conventions, doesn't the voice get so clear to you after you go to convention? I mean, the Lord, I hear him all the time, but I mean, it might as well have been Art talking to me right here. The voice gets so clear. I don't mean I heard an audible voice. I heard it on the inside of me, but the voice is so clear, and I'm just so grateful that the Lord will just bring that correction to me. Church, we have them. Have a cookie. Have a supernatural. Have an unusual, have an extraordinary, have a miracle, have a healing, have a breakthrough in finances, have a breakthrough with people, wherever it is, have a breakthrough. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for it. We receive it today, Lord. Lord, thank you that the favor of God surrounds us like a shield. It produces supernatural increase, promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, and battles won that I don't have to fight.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.